Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hello again, and welcome to episode 10 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. We're coming to you from London, as always, and with me today I have...
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
James Ross.
And who are you all playing?
Sasha Rackett, who likes stabbing things and not making eye contact.
Zolf, Dwarven Cleric of Poseidon, who currently has an eel.
Hammond, the Halfling Sorcerer, the very sexy Halfling Sorcerer.
So Bertrand Bertie McGuffingham loves money, dislikes time wasters.
Mm-hmm. And before we get any further, I actually have a couple of shout-outs.
Hey!
I know, we're going to be doing some shout-outs for people who've been leaving five-star reviews around the place. But before then, people have already gotten back to us.
I'm hoping they're leaving five-star reviews on our podcast page, not just anywhere.
No, that's just right on the wall.
On the pavement, five-star review.
Very strange form of leprosy that allows you to leave positive critical judgments. Just flake off you.
Greater parties taking place.
You see a lot of them in Edinburgh every summer.
Yeah. Oh,
so anyway, my first shout out has to go to Aaron, a awesome guy who has given us loan of a full set of miniatures.
Yay!
All of it, the whole lot. So we've got like dual wielding rogues and barbarians and it's just awesome. So thank you so much for that, Aaron. It's great.
For the benefit of the tape, Aaron, I've taken this very underdressed barbarian character because he's roughly Bertie's build, but it does look like he should be on the cover of Men's Health. Like, it's quite disquieting.
I also have another shout-out for Widnall, someone who's been getting in touch with us regarding rules, just pointing out some things that we had to skip past and other things like that. It's been actually genuinely really helpful. So thanks for that, Widnall. And last but not least, Ladom, who contacted me to let me know how castles catch fire and burn down.
That's amazing! How do they catch fire?
I am terrified.
It's awesome.
Never go into a castle,
no, it's great.
Ladom has been experimenting!
It's to do with like the timbers that hold up the floors catch fire, which causes the mortar to lose its consistency. Oh, so the stones shift, which alters the structural integrity. Okay. So actually, I know how castles burn down.
Super cool. Next time I need to burn down a castle, I know who I will call.
Yeah, so thank you.
I'd like to say, if you'd like to discuss any of these points further, you can come onto our forum.
Yay!
Oh, yeah, good point.
Which currently is just not very lively, but it's going to get much more exciting very soon.
Yeah, by the time this episode goes out, everyone will be there.
Who knows?
And that's available
all the cool kids.
RustyQuill.com, and it's being moderated by our lovely Bryn and our community manager, who not many people have had a chance to meet, although you've been talking to him online. A guy called Stefan. He's been running all of our social media and so on. He helps us out a lot.
Facebook and the tweeting.
He's the one that's sociable so that we who know not how to be can be to people.
Well done for demonstrating the exact problem you were talking about.
I am talk good, hello.
That is people.
We just don't know.
Science can't tell us.
All the people I talk to have little bases to keep them upright. And it's on my table. Okay, so to pick up where we left off last week, everyone had tracked down, apparently, what has happened to the simulacrum, which was taken from Lord Edison's house.
We found bits of it.
Well, that's the problem. Bits of it in a large waste pool, and having reported back, got sent back down by Sergeant Haringey to find the people who had done it and bring them back pretty much dead or alive, and any traces, plans, anything that you can find.
We are trying to trace them, as I remember, through their supply line. That's so we're looking for whoever sold them all the grenade-type things.
Yeah, all their equipment, because obviously they were well-equipped.
Yeah.
Having done so, you've gone through all the London. Bertie briefly had his pocket picked. And then before you could get hold of the guy, he ended up passing on some information to an old face that Sasha seemed to recognise.
Mm. Hasn't said anything to the rest of us yet.
I don't say much, to be fair.
And so, the last thing that happened is she spotted trouble coming a mile away and took a little bit of a sneaky stab in the back.
Stabbing, yay!
However, now that
the back
person...
is the best place to stab.
Now that person's aware of you guys, and there are apparently a few other people in this marketplace who are homing
in. Recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, I made a fantastically good perception roll and had seen all this developing as well.
Also, she was reporting it via your walkie-talkie because you had message set up on every party member, I think.
I haven't found the rule that tells me whether I can have two running simultaneously or not.
At the very least, I think you have one set up with Sasha. I think the old ones will have expired by now.
Okay. Someone could tell us on the forums.
Yes,
somebody with skills.
Help me with some rules.
What we really need is a spell that allows us to set up a small WhatsApp group for the whole. Sorry, very brief question. I remember something about eels, but that's the only impression I have.
We were having eels.
I told you guys that when you come down to my district in Other London, you need to try the salty eels.
Oh, okay. And Zolf had managed to buy you and him. I don't know the Hamid. I don't think Hamid
was not took of the eels.
So both... I have eels in my possession.
Just the one.
You're holding one eel.
You are holding one eel in your inventory.
I don't know if it's in a bun.
No, they're eel in bun. I've decided.
Eel in a bun. Now, can I? Eel dogs. This may or may not become.
Still wiggling.
Is it an alive eel?
It is not alive eel.
Dead eel.
I'm afraid this is a dead eel.
Okay. Yes. So I can't command the loyalty of my
You cannot
dog.
Command the leal I mean, you can. Loyalty
it's
of your
very
eel friend.
Easy. Yeah. Lie still. Thank you very much. Yeah.
I think you're forgetting the crucial point that I had warned you we were about to be attacked, and so actually we had begun preparing to be attacked and started to draw our weapons.
I have got I've readied my combat eel.
Trident, we call it.
No,
I have loaded and drawn my crossbow.
And I've drawn my sword.
I've stabbed someone.
Okay, so we are jumping into combat. So first thing that I'm going to need from everyone is an initiative roll. So if everyone can do me a favour and roll their respective d20s.
Yes, it's not like a 2.
So what have we got? Zolf?
18.
18. Hamid?
21. Sorry to steal your thunder.
Oh, right.
He lied.
James.
Oh, sorry. Modifiers.
Your initiative is up top.
Yeah. Oh, so I have a total of 10.
A formidable 10 there from Bertie.
I mean, I did already stab someone. Did
that
I?
Was your surprise,
right? Yeah, that doesn't factor in.
Okay. Oh, God.
Hey!
Oh, 1!
Okay, so with all of the initiatives rolled for all of the NPCs, let's just describe the setup for listeners. We are in Other London, so obviously we're sort of underground with constructed stuff above us. And we're in what looks to have once been a town square. There are columns all around the outside, sort of a colonnade, with some remainders of what used to be shops lining all of the walls. And these are still active, but they're obviously crumbling and people have taken up residence in what once were shops. Also, set up in the middle of the square are a bunch of market stalls. I count 8, plus there's 2 in the middle that are selling food, an eel stall, and what looks to be some kinds of pie, probably rat. But they're just little cloth temporary things. The party are stood in the middle of this square, apart from Sasha, who's up by the edge of a colonnade, having just snuck in, seen that person that she knows, and then stabbed them in the back. Just a friendly Other London hello, really. There are...
I mean, I did find him by following the guy that had picked Bertie's pocket, sneaking up behind and then hearing him threaten that he would try and get the
Yeah, so
of the
he gave you a friendly Other London hello,
gave,
and you gave him a friendly Other London hello back.
That's how we bond.
And there are 3 major sort of street entrances into this square. and one side which just opens onto what look like houses or something, not shops necessarily. So, getting this going straight away, we are going to start with, after the initiative rolls, Hamid.
So I've been trying to keep myself in space and kind of keep track of everything that's going on. I can see Sasha stabbing some dude in front of me, but I'm more worried about the dogs that are about to charge to us. So I'm going to fire my crossbow, which I already loaded, at that dog to my left.
That should be fine, but you will be firing over the top of a counter of one of the stalls, which is fine, but it will be giving the dog some cover. However, the dog at the other end is without cover, but you...
That one's much less likely to attack me.
Yep.
So, presumably you are attacking that nearest dog even with the cover.
Yeah, I will.
Sure, give me the roll.
I hit a 8.
An 8, that's...
Oh, no, a 9. But still
9, no, that's not going to hit, especially not with cover.
I'm now going to take my move action and I'm going to use it to back off slightly and place myself between the two people wearing armour. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Uh-huh. And just a reminder for everyone, because it's been a bit of a while since combat, whenever we're counting like that, we're counting squares on the table. Each square is 5 foot, and as a small character, Hamid's move speed is just the 20 feet, so that's the 4 squares. Okay, so next on the list is one of the dogs. Ooh.
Damn dogs having higher initiative modifier than me.
It holds its action. Zolf, you're up.
Hello. Okay, so how large is this eel in a bun?
This eel in a bun is roughly the size of your forearm. It's sort of like a foot-long hot dog.
Big eel. I was wondering if I could scuff it into my face before combat.
There is mustard. I feel necessary to point out there is mustard.
I do like mustard.
peer over the person that I've just stabbed. Oh, eels!
I will throw the hot dog at the dog that Hamid shot a crossbow at, which is the one to my left.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my left. I will attempt to get it as far as possible. Basically hoping to provide a tasty treat which isn't my
to distract face. The dog.
So you're not hitting it with anything, that's fine. Just give me an attack roll and then I'll see how far it goes from there.
Not very far. That was a 3 I rolled, and when you're doing
dex?
Plus my dex bonus, that's a 3 on that.
Okay, if someone can just place on that table a bit of eel that's landed on the floor.
Yeah, the eel is now a D4. A nice pyramid eel.
It's also tired. Almost the size of Zolf, so...
You said it was a big eel!
Okay, after that...
Oh, sorry, actually, and the second thing I'm going to do is get my shield out. So I'm going to have my trident and my shield readied.
Sure.
And I know we look all directions at once, but
thousands
I'm going to turn to face...
Thousands of eyes!
I'm going to turn to face the guys on the left.
Just something that in the Pathfinder universe no one mentions, the fact that we have stalks. Extra eyes.
Everyone's a beholder.
Apart from beholders, which are people. It just went all weird.
Yeah.
They're fractal beholders.
Okay, so the first of the enemies actually moves. He takes a 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30.
Right into smacking range.
And takes a big old smack straight at
30 to 30.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to come off well in this exchange.
This guy seems to be wielding a short sword rather than a knife or anything like that, so it's a bit heavier. And misses. Just. that was a 2. I'm not even going to bother doing the maths. It was a terrible, terrible 2. He runs up, and we're forgetting that, of course, Bertie's had himself kind of scuffed up and he's wearing his cloak. So this guy's come up behind Bertie, ready to shank him, and gone, ding! And just found out that he's not quite so squishy as he'd have hoped underneath that cloak. After that, it's immediately Bertie's turn.
Hello. Right. Okay. So I'm going to attack that chap. Obviously, I don't think there's anything else that I would particularly want to do apart from try and cut him in half.
No.
Bisect him from
the in. When you're higher level, that kind of move will be ideal for you, because if someone puts themselves next to you, you get to full attack and mince them into little bits. But currently we're level 1.
Yeah, you don't have many.
It's the same.
Okay, cool. I swing my mighty sword.
Roll the attack.
12.
A 12 plus your modifier?
Which is 3, I think, for strength. Oh no, hang on. Attack bonus is 4.
So
16 total.
That is a hit.
3. Roll your damage.
Okay, what am I rolling here? D10 plus 3.
That's the one.
Ooh. 9, 12.
Oh!
That is
squish.
That's a lot for a level 1.
Yes. Yeah.
The guy is...
That would just down me. I would just be down.
I would be halfway to dead.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's an absolutely solid hit. Again, these guys also seem to be wearing cuirasses, but you bodily lift him off the ground with a blow to the torso, throw him backwards. He lands on his feet, but it's literally torn right through the cuirass and got him underneath. Oh. He looks terrible. He's not down. He is not down, but he's having the worst day. just the worst day.
Terribly sorry. Sorry is in inverted commas there. I don't know if you can tell.
Okay.
Witty as always, Bertie.
At which point, things are about... I feel like Sasha's about to have a bad day. Because the guy that she just shanked...
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows that you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Turns around. Manages to get out one word, which is just... Sash. And then proceeds to also...
He sounds like a lovely chap. He's the voice of a nice man.
He with that dagger that he was already holding, immediately takes an attack at Sasha.
Oh. Not going to enjoy this.
And also misses, as I roll a 3.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so this d20 is going in Bryn's naughty pile for a little while. Yes. Yeah.
He could have cut me in half, so that is a lucky...
He's caught unaware. He just, on instinct, just slashes randomly, whizzes straight over Sasha's head. She's way too fast for it. At which point, another one of the men is here. He is going to be a bit sneakier than the first guy. He's moving up. His dog then inserts its action, so his dog is still with him.
So they've moved up to face Bertie.
Correct. About However... I've just realised the dog has even more movement.
Dogs are pretty fast.
So what's happened is the guy has run up and gestured for his dog, and it seems to be obeying some sort of tactical plan that, you know, he's taught the dog over probably a period before now.
As opposed to in the future.
Okay, so just let me rearrange this initiative order now that someone's inserted their action. To spell it out, I can't remember if I have for listeners. You can sometimes hold your action, which is where you don't feel like it's sort of a good idea for you to move right now. So what you do is you hold your action and then can insert it in the order later, sort of further down the line, which is what's happened there with the dog. There's also something called a readied action, which Zolf has already done because he used it to catch a diplomat once upon a time.
I did.
But this isn't one of those. This is just, it's just reordering the initiative and taking a hit to order so that you can coordinate with people. Then a third person does a similar action to the first one. So he'll move 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. And his dog will similarly accompany him and end up 10 foot closer. Again, sort of around the side. Then it is Sasha.
Okay, so I can see that the three different guys have run up to my mates in the centre of the town square, two of whom have dogs. One of whom has been bashed thoroughly by Bertie, but the other ones are looking quite threatening. And in front of me stands a nasty man. And I think at this point, I mean, the instinct would be to run away! There just isn't really anywhere for me to flee, is there? I should just stab this dude. I should just stab him lots.
Have yourself an epic duel.
It will have to be. Well, it won't be very. I'm very small and quite frail, but I can. I'm fast. I can try stabbing the dude.
Mm-hmm. Of course, if you were to attack right away, you get your you get your two attacks straight off the bat, which is double him.
Yeah. How much damage did I do the first stab?
Off the top of my head, it was about 5. And that's already sort of factored in. So yeah, he's already taken a decent hit.
Okay,
and
cool.
You're taking double the number of attacks.
Right, I'm gonna stabby him twice.
So yeah, just to point it out again, because that -1 on the strength, you will be taking a -1 to the damage because you're not flanking him, so that dirty fighter that we gave you doesn't sort of bump that back up yet.
This is the problem with rogues is keeping them flanking. But at level 1, I don't really see what else I can do.
You get more utility. A lot of early classes are, I hit the thing, and I maybe do a class ability sometimes.
It's level 1 and you're alive. You're doing well.
It's very cool.
We haven't been killed by goblins or rats, which is great.
Gonna try stabbing this guy, and if it barely touches him, it barely touches him. Ooh, a 16 and a 10.
Plus your modifier. Yep. So, in total... So it's 11.
Yeah, 11 and 17.
One of them hits.
Oh.
Sorry. And I'm afraid that you won't be getting a sneak attack because he's not flanking him. But if nothing else, you're keeping him away from engaging the others.
I'm keeping him away from engaging stronger people.
So if you can roll yourself a d4 for the damage for the dagger.
Two.
So it's just the one damage.
Aww.
But again, you did get the 5 in at the start, so compared to everyone else, you've actually done, with the exception of Bertie, you've done more than everyone else already.
Yes, true. Hey, I threw a hot dog. Come on.
Okay, so now back round to Hamid.
Right, so I can see the one man and his dog, approaching Zolf from one direction. I can see one man and his dog approaching Bertie from the other direction.
Who's already fighting another man. With no dog.
And to be honest, they're both wearing lots of armour, and so I'm less worried about them.
Mm-hmm.
But looking over in front of me, mm-hmm. I can see that Sasha is engaged in combat, and I know that she is perhaps less armoured.
You're squishy
armored.
Sort of together, as
yeah.
it were.
Right. So, I mean, could you remind me what he looks like?
Sure. So, obviously, from sort of backstory, we've gone over that Sasha already knows him. He's quite tall, lanky, very wiry. Looks like he's got a lot of strength to him, even if he's not very broad-shouldered. But it's other London. I mean, the number of broad-shouldered people there are, I mean, it's kind of hard to on a diet consisting entirely of eels and sort of pale cabbage.
Hey, eels are delicious.
But pale cabbage. My favourite of the cabbages.
So, he doesn't seem to be a sort of hulking brute, but he certainly seems physically a match for Sasha.
He's a large guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I'm going to take a 5-foot step to place myself directly between my two well-armoured friends.
Classic sorcerer.
And I'm going to cast Magic Missile at the guy Sasha's fighting.
Yay, thank you.
And I will do 3 damage.
3 damage. Okay.
And
does
of course,
that mean
magic
that he
missile
turns
doesn't...
around to look at the person that threw the... Because then I would be behind him.
We'll find out.
I'm not threatening. There's a technical term called threatening,
right,
which interacts with all the other rules. I am not, because I'm too far away, I am not threatening him.
So he just gets, ow, in the back of his head, but doesn't turn around.
Yes.
We'll just say that his natural hatred for Sasha overwhelms any sense of self-preservation.
That sounds plausible.
the lovely thing about magic missile, of course, is if I was trying to do that with a crossbow, I'd take a massive penalty for firing into melee combat.
And would almost certainly hit you, because that's the way that rolls.
Although the guy is between me.
Oh, but I'm an incredibly cruel and unfair GM.
But the rules as well say that you've basically got a chance of hitting both people.
To be fair, he just stabbed over my head and I ducked down and tried to stab
it's
him. Look, we are in melee.
It's because you're both moving so much, exactly. But Magic Missile is unerring.
Yay.
And smacks him in the face even though he's facing away from me.
It does it because literally magic.
Literally you're magic. Up.
Okay.
Sorry, I still have a move action.
Oh, of course you do.
Using my move action to reload my crossbow.
Nice. Clever. You're up.
Right, I will ready an action, and my action is stab the first enemy that enters my threat range, which, because I have a trident, is 10 foot around me.
Because your trident's bigger than you are.
Because my trident is bigger than I am.
Yep.
And then I will just shout out, you don't need to do this, guys. We can work it out.
Okay.
What?
All right.
Wait, no.
The dude without his stomach.
Technically... we stabbed them first.
Actually, us three did nothing. And maybe I'm not even aware, I am, but I'm lying, that Sasha started it.
The person who's facing Sasha hears this and goes, oh no, we can't.
Suit yourself.
So your action is now readied.
Yes.
The person that you are facing off against now moves closer and...
just a beeline?
Pretty much beelines.
5, 10.
Oh, no, hang on.
Ooh. There's an eel there.
Is he going to slip on the eel? Is there any panic for that?
He moves.
Eel slippage.
The one who you're facing off against moves to just outside your threat range whilst pulling something out from under his cloak.
Okay.
He then throws it right into the middle of all three of you.
My God, he's got an area effect weapon. Why did I hide behind you?
Oh, it's a good hit. Let's say he's aiming at Hamid. That is a... let me do the maths. 18 to hit, although Hamid does have cover behind Zolf. Of course, meaning that if he were to miss with a roll that high, it's just going to hit Zolf in the face.
Yay!
So what's your AC, Hamid?
My AC is 13.
So we'll give you full cover, plus the 4 takes it to...
17.
Meaning that it
still hits.
Ouch. Yeah. So this is the first of our splash weapons. Okay, so that means it affects everything within an area.
I do hope it's a water balloon.
Rather than the oil flask which we've been thrown, which were actually a direct hit. So this, he pulls out from under him. It's green. It has some sort of conical glass flask. He hurls it overhand straight at Hamid, and it smashes into Hamid's shoulder and splashes.
I know this might be a little retroactive, but when he pulls and throws it out, throw it over my head, can I attempt to bat it with my shield?
No, because you have a readied action, so you are so prepared to do that that you can't take any other actions.
That is.
So he hurls it overhead, it slams into Hamid and splashes onto both Bertie and Zolf, dealing 1d6 acid damage.
That is rude.
When I'm a dragon, I'm going to come back and burn this whole place to the ground.
Hey, it's my home!
Now, I'm going to be setting a precedent here for splash damage, which applies to all of you. A lot of people aren't going to like it, but it speeds combat up immensely.
You'll take the same damage.
I am going to roll a single dice to determine the damage it does for all of you.
Okay.
It tends to make combat a bit more... Either everyone's annihilated or everyone's fine, but it'll speed things up.
Okay.
So, you all take... six acid damage.
You, Alex.
Oh, brutal.
However, that works both ways, so that when Bryn's doing things like fireballs and things like that, and at 30 people and he rolls high, all of them will get annihilated.
Okay,
but
so, yeah.
That was an acid flask.
It's not going to help, because I'm not going to survive.
Okay, and now that he's moved, his dog will be following suit, but there's an eel in the way. And it fails a will save, distracted by the eel.
So
we'll replace the eel with the dog.
Within the dog's stomach, and it will be, that's its move, I'm afraid. I'll have it failing its will save against delicious, delicious eels.
Mustardy, salty goodness.
Okay, so... Bertie, you're up. You just got a splash of acid that's working its way through your armour and onto your skin, and it hurts from behind you.
My armour! My lovely armour! Oh, I smell barbecue. Right, so at this point, Bertie can see the heavily wounded chap that he's just given this, you know, delightful new slash torso look to in front of him, plus the lovely doggy.
And a third person who's rapidly on the approach.
Okay, cool. So I think I'd quite like to finish off the chat that I've started. I'd also maybe like to try and win a new animal friend using my eel and my charm. There's no way that I can do both of those things in one turn, is there?
Not really. Also, when it comes to handle animal, this is a skill that's more geared towards taming wild animals.
Right.
And... sort of, if you were to encounter
it's
a hostile
slow,
wild animal.
It's a slow, considered process.
Yeah.
It's not really appropriate for combat.
This, right. Come this on to my side! Come on, doggy! My side,
this
yes.
isn't the dog whisperer, basically.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
Also, I'm the cleric. I'm the one who should go, wallaloo, and then turn the dog blue.
Right, okay.
So I have played too much Baldur's Gate.
So, I think your best bet would be to... just remove the guy from combat who you already can.
Right.
Kill him!
Kill him dead!
Or... Was that in character there?
Probably. I'm really badly hurt.
I was going to say, yeah, you're feeling worse for wear. So I'd recommend eliminating people when you can, because it just removes the number of people who can hurt you.
Cool, I will do that then. All right, so I'm going to attack that chap. Eight.
Plus your modifier?
Plus four is 12.
12, it does not hit.
Oh!
You do still have a move action should you wish. But honestly, I mean, you're in a pretty optimal position, really.
Yeah, I mean, I can't do something like take a 5-foot step forward so that I could be engaging the dog at the same time.
You could, that's not a bad idea.
They would then be flanking you.
Okay.
And they'll be getting huge bonuses.
All right, I'm not going to do that. All right, I'm fine, I'm done then.
Okay, the one who is facing off against Sasha takes one more swing at Sasha. Oh, what's your AC?
13.
It is a hit.
Oh no.
He rolled higher than your AC anyway.
Yep.
So he will be dealing, let me double check, a decent amount of damage because he's the boss. 3 damage.
Ooh. Is there a pencil?
There is a pencil.
Holy pencil.
And the one who was approaching Bertie from the side, what does he do? He attempts to sort of sidestep 5, 10. 15.
And he's entered into 20, my range.
And has entered into... Yes, he has entered into your range. Aha. Thus, your readied action goes off.
Take Trident.
That's what you get
man.
For trying to be too sneaky and yeah. flanking.
Well, he wasn't paying attention to me being like, ha-ha!
There is
this acid-covered dwarf has a spike.
Yeah, there is a burned halfling, halfway.
Well, you know, it's a rod or two. So, yeah, quickly gloss over that failure.
So it's a huge swing and miss. He then proceeds to try an attack on Bertie, just the one. What's Bertie's AC?
20.
Oh, no. It's a decent attempt, but no. Yeah. No.
This man has a lot of armor. And to be awful to the players, but he is being flanked right now.
It's still
nope,
not enough.
Fine, yeah. Because you've got two
point?
People opposite
yeah.
you. So.
Sasha, you are up.
Okay, how I have this fire vial. That mm-hmm. In fact, I have quite a few of them. Mm-hmm. How much damage do they do?
Those did 1d6 damage. You couldn't hit him in melee, but you could just take a 5-foot step and just hoof it straight at his face.
I think that is a thing that I'm... Because otherwise I just keep doing ones and twos. And also that takes me a step away from him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means that he then...
Has to take a step to get towards you.
Well, it would open up a charge action for him.
Right.
Which means he can get a bonus.
Even if I step behind a pillar.
No, if you were behind the pillar, then...
But then I can't.
Well, as long as he can travel in a straight line...
But he wouldn't be able yeah, to, but you wouldn't be able to throw, similarly. There's another option available to you, which is you do have a Thunderstone as well, don't you?
Yeah, but that would mess up us. Mess up us up as much as the others.
You'd have to be careful where you used it, yeah. So...
Like, so that... Because it was a massive range, and it blinds and deafens people, right? I were to whisper... Everyone shut your eyes, like, through our messaging.
You can totally do things like prep everyone to just, you know, duck, or you just yell something so that they, you know, get massive bonuses because they're aware that the thing's about to happen. You could do that.
Yeah, you guys are not looking well.
We are covered in acid.
Yes.
I'm not sure what burnt halfling foot sounds like.
Apparently
screaming.
Snakes.
Screaming is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I think that might be... Maybe we can manage another round. Maybe. I'm going to take a step back and throw the vial mm-hmm. thing at him.
Mm-hmm.
So
that'll be rolling the d20. And it's dex-based, so that's playing into your hands.
Hooray. Oh gosh!
We are not having good rolls today.
Oh, I'm going to die so hard.
So Sasha wildly overestimates how hard she has to throw it, and launches the vial of oil right into the eel stand.
Oh no!
she flubs it, and it just slams into the eel stand. You don't know if it's going to catch fire yet, but it is. It's certainly.
It fills the entire battle area with a delicious aroma of frying eels.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. Tasty. Ooh. Maybe attracting the dogs. And everyone knows that Thug's main weakness is cooked eel.
Oh, that's a big desperate grab.
Down here, that's pretty true.
Well, at the end of that round, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll get back to the action in a couple of minutes with the smell of
roast
eel.
Yeah, to reflect on how awfully
flesh.
Screwed we are.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll see you in a couple of minutes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hello there, I'm James.
And I'm Alex.
All the way from Rusty Quill Towers. Now, this August...
That's August 2015. If you're listening in the future, then we're all dead and apes have taken over the Earth!
Ah, curse you, apes! You are the source of most of my problems. Now, we're both doing shows at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year, and we'd love you, specifically you, to come along. My show is a stand-up show. It's called James Ross Lepidoptera. It's on from the 8th until the 29th of August, except on Wednesdays, at 4:45 at Globe Bar on Nidri Street. Now, it will be literally the best thing you've ever seen if you've had a very narrow life and an extremely limited field of experiences.
And I'm directing a sketch comedy show with a group called Casual Violence. The show's called Om Nom Nom Nominous. And it's on at the Pleasance upstairs at 11:15 p.m. from the 20th to the 23rd. If you like those nightmares where you run screaming from a monster only to realise it was actually just trying to invite you to a show but you didn't realise, so you instead stayed home alone and watched reruns of Magic Roundabout whilst crying, then this is the show for you.
It is the show for me.
Yeah. So we hope to see you there, and we hope we don't disappoint you too much if it's the first time you've met us.
I am not going to disappoint you. I'm really impressive.
You're a joy. Anyway, with that, let's get back to the show.
Let's do that thing.
And welcome back. Okay, so into a new round, keeping it moving. Hamid, you're up. You've just been splashed by acid. It hurts.
Hamid is literally about to fall over.
Yeah.
I think I only have one option here. I mean, I've still got my big dudes either side of me, but I'm currently being threatened by one of the muggers. I'm going to take a 5-foot step backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to draw a potion and drink a potion of pure light wound.
Yeah,
I actually forgot we had those.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, guys, we have potions which are useful for not dying.
Shopping.
Your big
the saviour of all your problems.
Is a potion of cure light wounds d8 plus 1 or d8 plus 3?
Yeah, it'll be 1d8 plus 1.
Yeah.
I'm
okay, I regain 3 hit points.
Hooray!
Which is almost half my hit points.
Yeah, but you know, eventually you're going to have wings. So swings and roundabouts. And you're playing the long game.
Does HP in your case stand for help, please?
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to do with your turn?
That is, I took a 5-foot step, a move action, and a standard action.
I think you might have a little cry.
You could cry. Zolf, then, you are up.
Okay, I am going to take a 5-foot step.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to take a 5-foot step to move into his...
No.
Oh, actually, he's not threatening me. I've got a long weapon. Ha ha ha.
No one's threatening you, you're just threatening everyone else.
Yeah.
Like a bully.
Yeah, and I will, I'm kind of keeping myself, to describe, like, protected with my shield.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm ready for another acid flask,
mm-hmm.
And like jabbing like a spear with my trident.
Give me the attack.
That's better. That is a 13.
13 all in?
Yes.
13 all in. Let's have a look.
Come on.
It is not a hit.
No!
Okay.
What are you even for?
What are any of us apart from Bertie?
Is there anything else?
No, that's
okay.
It.
Luckily, at least if he tries to throw another vial, you're now threatening him and he'll get an attack of opportunity as well.
Yes.
Okay, so one of the men attacking Bertie, who's now flanking him.
The injured one, the non-injured one.
The non-injured one.
Yeah.
Takes an attack at Bertie with the flanking bonus. Doesn't hit.
Hooray.
That was
Bertie.
The rest of us will be...
Stop, chaps. Stop. Stop. Keep going. Stop.
The rest of us will be lying unconscious while Bertie wades through the bodies of our enemies.
And then goes, how do I do this healing?
Bertie, you are up.
Hello. Right. So Bertie has... Chap to his left, chap to his right, and a dog straight ahead.
You've got Thor to the left of you, Joker to the right, and here you are facing down a dog.
Stuck in the middle with...
a dog.
And what is by now a heavily eroded quarterling.
oh.
I'm going to try and finish neatly bisecting that.
Go for
check.
It. I think you've just been unlucky so far.
14 that's plus 4, 18.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's a hit.
Oh, cool. So that's one D10 plus
oh,
3.
Oh, D10. That bastard longsword.
4 plus 3 is 7.
Then. 7? Oh, yeah.
Keep the ones you're likely to need
yes.
separate.
He's very down.
Okay.
He's very down. You take another swinging attack. This time, just an overhead slash, and it bites into his torso. You've probably broken a collarbone at the very least, but he's very, very unconscious. Very, very unconscious. And would you like to move at all?
Helpful? I mean, I think I suppose I'm no longer being flanked by this chap. Because he's the only one who's attacking me, the reigning one.
Correct, you're now no longer being
so
flanked.
I don't think I need to move. I mean, it's still a good idea for me to stay blocking what's left of Hamid.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I drank a potion. I'm not fine.
That's fine. I don't think there's anything else that I can or want to do here.
Sure.
Does Bertie want to shout some sort of witty aphorism? That's what
he's
going to
witty retort.
A witty retort, yeah.
Gosh, I bet that hurt.
And on that, let's head back to the one who's facing off against Sasha. He, what does he do? He starts being quite sneaky, and instead of facing off against Sasha, he starts heading away from Sasha. He starts looping round the market store. Probably got some really cunning plan and technique that he'll make use of at some point.
Or the GM has just realised he's about to kill us all. One of the two.
No, that would be fine. because there's more splash damage where that came from.
Oh, goody.
Okay, now it is a man and his dog.
The dog that failed the will save?
No, the other dog. So, the man readies an action. The dog goes 5, 10, 15, 20, so it loops round behind Bertie, thus flanking him, attacks, at which point the readied action of the man goes off. So the dog attacks first, flanking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural 1.
Yes! He drops his teeth.
Basically, the dog comes round and it's obeying clearly that prearranged thing,
and it just sits,
and then it places itself, and then clearly isn't really paying attention. I'm not even going to say it attacks.
Yeah,
it just gets there and then doesn't really twig that it's meant to have attacked yet. Meanwhile, the man opposite goes, "Oh, you," and then attacks. Rolls a natural 20.
He's got to confirm it.
He has to confirm a critical.
But he does not.
He does not confirm a critical.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
Okay, so
if
you're in the critical range of your weapon, normally at the upper edges of the dice rolls, you can get a critical. In that case, you roll a second dice to confirm whether it hit or not. If it does, you take double weapon damage. So for you, anything that you can do to increase your critical range, so how many it is or how much damage you do, because you're doing a D10, which is like more than anyone else.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a really big deal. He didn't make his critical, but it still counts as a hit.
That was the first, when you nutted that man in an alleyway.
That was a critical.
That's why he just went out.
Straight away, because you just doubled everything that you did to him.
I remember that. Heady days.
And he deals you 7 damage.
I am down to 0 hit points.
What?
Yeah.
How?
Because I took 6 damage from somebody's acid. Because somebody hid behind me, making a
splash attack.
He has
taken a decent amount at level 1.
Yeah.
Bertie is now down unconscious.
That is not good.
God.
Things are looking dire for our plucky heroes.
Still, while unconscious, having about the same level of constructive, rational thought. And equally likely to pass a perception check. So,
okay. At which point, another man and his dog attack, and then it will be Sasha.
Okay.
Go on, Zolf.
We'll see.
The first man takes a 5-foot step towards Zolf so that he doesn't get that trident to the face.
Darn him.
He'll give an attack. And misses.
Hooray.
Serves him right.
His dog...
Chowing down on eels. We finished the eels.
Try to loop round, even though it's going to be coming within range of Hamid.
And he's moving through my threat range.
Oh, is he?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if we move straight...
He's got a double
sure.
threat range.
Well, it's only a dog. It ain't that smart. It'll move through your threat range, thus you can take an attack of opportunity.
That is a 19.
A 19, so
is
that's...
That, does that threaten a crit?
I'm assuming not, because I haven't written it down. I would have, because that's quite important. So that is a D8
excellent.
Damage. So, 5.
5?
Plus my strength, which will be 1. So, 6.
6, let's have a look.
I can add 5 to 1.
Yay!
That was only mildly challenging for me.
Okay,
there
the dog...
you go. That's my use. I've got a big stick with pointy bits on the end of it.
Hooray!
Using beat dogs with.
Okay, yeah. So the attack of opportunity annihilates the dog. It takes a big hit, still going, but it's looking very much the worse for wear.
Mm-hmm.
It continues its attempt to loop round behind Zolf.
Still moving within my threat range.
You only get one attack of opportunity per round unless you have combat reflexes.
But in upper levels, given that you'll have a weak reach weapon, it may be worth you taking that.
Yeah, sure.
But for now, it's taken that hit and then carried its movement. And
they've managed to flank everybody. Everybody is flanked now.
Yeah. And it
flanks forever.
Will take its attack, or at least attempt to take its attack. And miss. You guys are getting very lucky, and it's good job too.
Oh, okay. We've been really unlucky in our role, so everyone's being incompetent.
Sasha, you're up.
I message to Hamid saying, cover your eyes and ears, and I throw, because I can see there are 4 things attacking these guys, and I throw a thunderstone into the
just into the middle of the mess.
Into the middle of the mess.
You are able to relay that to everyone, if you want.
Well, he's unconscious.
That's why you need a thunderstone. You don't have Bertie, who is himself a thunderstone.
In my unconscious dream state, I suddenly hear my mother shouting disapprovingly.
I'll relay that to Zolf.
Okay.
So that, what do I need to do to tell them that, to throw?
To throw it? Yeah. Give me a ranged attack roll and pick where you'd like it to land.
You might need to move a little closer to reduce the range.
Okay, could you tell me how big the range of the Thunderstone itself is?
Okay, so just as a reminder for the Thunderstone, it's a ranged attack with a range increment of 20 feet. So that means that for every 20 feet you are away from your target, you're taking a -1. So not like your daggers where it's 10 feet.
Right.
It's twice as easy to throw.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a big bang, it's a sonic attack. Each creature within 10 feet. So
it's small.
Well, no, it's still sort of 6 squares by 6 squares.
Oh, right.
That
so it will cover everyone in the middle, but not yourself or the guy who's sort of sneaking around the sides.
Cool.
Each creature must make a DC 15 fortitude save or be deafened for an hour. And such creatures would have like a -4 on initiative, 20% chance to miscast, lose spell, things like that. And you can just choose to aim at a particular square, which only has an AC of 5. So if you roll higher than 2 because of your dex, you're going to be landing it where you want.
So it's either a hit or a critical
fail. And if I tell them to cover their ears, what kind of bonuses do they get?
I'm not going to tell you what number it is.
I'm going to move forward a couple of... Yeah, so it's within 20. And throw it to there. And I tell you to cover.
If you move forward one more square for that. Yeah, there you go.
Do you get a 2 or better? You get a
2!
So that's enough to hit.
Right, so you chuck that Thunderstone, it lands with a crack, and then suddenly, just a split second afterwards, there is a... the sort of dust starts falling from the ceiling, and you see all of the awning for all of the tents bulge outwards briefly, and immediately, basically, everyone has an urge to just slap their hands to their ears.
But they already have their hands.
They were already prepared, so give me your fortitude saves, both guys in the middle.
7, plus whatever the bonus is.
14?
14. Hamid is fine.
Yay!
The 7. Give the modifier and the... I'm afraid you've had a thunderstone.
Yep, fine.
Hamid was fine, even with the preparation, you just didn't quite get your ears to
Does it
head
deal
in time.
Any sonic damage?
It doesn't deal sonic damage, but it's a very effective distraction that will... frankly disturb a bunch of them because it's quite high-end stuff. Let's see.
The dogs.
It's
what,
probably
does
much
it do
worse
any...
for dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dogs have certain things to do with that ears. So let's see. Let's do the dogs first. And then the second dog. And then person one. And second person. Okay. So, both of the men give a yell, clap their hands to their ear, and you see them sort of staggering around, not in the dazed condition, which is a specific thing in Pathfinder, but certainly it appears to have worked. One of the dogs gives a yelp, doesn't run off, but turns tail as if it's likely to. And the second dog sort of gives a yelp, but seems just about to be...
For goodness sake.
Just about to be okay, but you still manage to get three of them.
Nothing works.
All of them are now taking their penalties, etc.
I say, you say nothing worked. 75% of the enemies...
I mean, effective. I thought that the dogs would run away screaming.
Well, they can't. It's not their action.
Ah.
So, Hamid, you're up. There's been an enormous boom. The person that everyone's facing it off seems to be quite deafened. One of the dogs looks like it's about to leg it, and the dog that's beside you could go either way.
But you're fine. I'd like to remind you that you are fine.
I'm still surrounded by dogs, which is making me quite nervous.
You're flanked by dogs, yes.
Can dogs take attacks of opportunity? Is that a thing they can do?
I can look up, but you wouldn't know.
No, I have no idea. Despite the risk of splash damage weapons, I am completely terrified. I'm going to take a 5-foot step and go back to back with Zolf.
Oh, classic!
And just be like, and I almost forget I'm holding a loaded crossbow. but just in time, I go, and sort of swing it wildly in an attempt to shoot that dude. Who's still standing.
That'd be the one that just took Bertie out.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
If he's blinded and deafened, doesn't it count as a sneak attack?
I don't get sneak attacks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're the only person who benefits from sneak attacks.
Oh,
hit anyway.
I hit.
Yay.
On an 18 rolled.
Oh yeah, that's a hit.
But I do 1 damage.
It's better than none damage.
You just pierced his ear.
So how much damage did you do?
1.
What? Ooh. Oof. Right.
Hey, doing 1 damage isn't anything to be ashamed about.
Nah.
Hey, guys with the big swords.
And that was the dog, wasn't it?
No, that was the man.
Yeah, that was the man. Okay.
I'm especially scared of him because he made Bertie fall over. And Bertie's like my safety blanket. I'm now
massive.
Double scared.
Yeah.
Zolf.
Right. So I am deafened and blinded.
You are not blinded.
I'm
you
deafened.
Are deafened.
Fine. That doesn't affect my ability to stab people right
Yay.
Up.
Not at all.
Good. Since this dog is obviously having serious issues right now, and it's like it's losing the will to fight, I'm going to stab the man.
Mm-hmm.
I might actually... No, I'm going to fail to stab the man.
What did you
13.
Get total? 13.
Yeah, fail to stab it. No, does he have a minus on anything for being like dazed or deaf? Or not dazed, state effect, but...
I'm afraid it won't hit him.
Oh, throw me a bone, Alex. Come on! Yeah, that's no, fine.
We can toss you an eel.
Yeah, I've already tossed the eel.
Anything else you'd like to do? Because currently you've only used an attack.
No.
Okay.
Because that means moving away from Hammond and leaving him exposed.
No,
okay.
No potions.
Oh, that's a very good point. Yes, I have potions.
You've got potions coming out the wazoo.
I'm gonna drink a potion. So it's
you
one
can't. It's a move action to draw a potion, and it's a standard action to drink a potion.
I can't do that.
You could draw a potion ready for next round.
No, I have a shield. I can't.
True.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
We are rubbish.
You are just a bit outmatched.
We're outnumbered.
Pretty much.
I think we should have... There should be a magic item, which is basically like a stadium buddy for potions. Yes.
Also, again...
there's a potion belt.
not helping,
for your head.
But rules. Shouldn't James be bleeding out right now?
When he comes round to his round, he has to make the save.
Oh, he's only fallen down last round.
He's only just fallen down.
Yeah, yeah.
So much
a
time,
lot has happened.
I know. Time flies when you're having fun and bleeding on the ground.
Okay, so the one that took Bertie out is deafened, banged, and quite frankly, he
pissed.
he's
dainty new earring.
He's not having a particularly good time. So, not being a particularly brave fellow, he takes a few steps back, and he's just going to be there. He's just keeping his distance from Sasha and everything, and he's pretty much going around ma ma. He can't hear anything. he's still just taking a moment to try and get his bearings, hoping that he'll, you know,
yeah,
pull himself back together. Bertie has to make a save against bleeding out.
What am I rolling?
Roll a d20.
Mm-hmm. And this is factoring in against your fortitude save to check that you don't start bleeding, basically.
Okay, I have a fortitude of
You have a formidable five. Fortitude save.
11 plus 5 is 16.
Off the top of my head, that's fine. You have stabilised, so you're just having a snooze.
You see, most people would dream about counting sheep. Bertie dreams about counting money.
Tacking tables.
Yeah.
Okay. The boss character is now... He vaults into the tent and is out of your sight.
Oh, no. Okay, so he's here.
He's in there somewhere, but you don't know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Set fire to the tent!
We know he's doing parkour, which I think is reason enough to kill him.
Well, did the flame thing that I threw onto the eel stand actually make it catch fire?
It's still taking a little while to catch. Mm. It hasn't gone, like, bursting into flame or anything, so but it's still on fire.
It's already possible to set fire to the tent that the dude is in.
I imagine eel stands, though, are quite wet.
Yeah.
True, is that a shop? Is he vaulted into a shop for kindling?
The water shop. Sparks are us.
Petrol and kindling. All of your fire needs.
Yeah, it's the Mad Max shop.
Okay, the dog... Fleas.
Yay!
5, 10, 15, 20, 29, 30, 35. And it's
legendary. Glad to see the back of that.
It's fled. Turns out the really loud noise was not something that it was particularly happy with.
You could take an attack of off as it fled. But you're
not
a cruel man.
I also don't want to stab a dog in the bum when a man...
a man with a sword.
When a man with a sword might evoke an attack later. Not my primary concern right now.
Okay, the person facing off against Zolf takes an attack.
Wait, the dog or the man?
The man.
Right.
This chap.
That dude.
Seven. Probably not. AC of 17.
No! He still deafened and he takes a wild, wild swing. He's not really...
Deflect it with my shield. In there, get out doing some work.
You know how Archer is the only show with gunfire that really does the sort of ringing ears?
Yeah.
For ages afterwards, it just...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm imagining this as like just you in the tin can of your helmet.
This is not...
Swinging
everything's
things.
Blurry and everything's a bit confusing. But the second dog backs up and goes beside its one of the owners.
Does it traverse the difficult terrain?
It goes all the way around because it's a dog.
Fair enough.
It doesn't look particularly happy, but neither has it fled.
Sure. So it's standing next to the guy who's back there.
Mm-hmm. They're taking a moment. And then the Sasha. The Sasha. You're up.
The Sasha. Right. So I've seen...
By far the most effective move so far, by the way, chucking that Thunderstone.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Probably say, well, if we survive it, it will have been the thing that saved us, I think.
Right. So I can see those guys are backing off, and I know that the boss dude is a horrible man and that he has not gone into this tent for shopping for Christmas presents.
Surprise!
But what will the orphans have?
Yeah.
Except it is Tinder R Us, so he's just going to be giving you all sticks.
If it's Tinder R Us, he's going to be in that tent, swiping left about every single one of us.
So I'm quite genuinely, I need to know, can I see what's in what that shop is selling? What kind of stuff is dangling on? Because I'm looking, I can see sort of sideways into the awning if anything is hanging there.
Okay.
Just if it's a weapons shop or a fire.
Give me a perception roll for... this is sort of retroactive for when you were looking around the market earlier to see whether you discerned what you were selling.
14.
14. Okay, yeah. So what you saw was it was selling tomatoes.
Okay, wet things.
But it was selling tomatoes in inverted comma.
Drug shop.
And certainly, it was selling something where he handed something in a vial to another person that was from underneath
That's quite a lot of perception I did.
You did quite well. I mean,
you walked
around and you were being very careful and you snuck quite close and you were being really paranoid.
I was.
It looked like it was a flask similar to the things that are being thrown around, but you don't know whether it was full of acid
or
oil. It could be full of water and potions. You don't know.
It's the pet
potential to go full Michael Bay on him, though.
Right, what do I...
Well, he's going to fly a fighter jet into the tent.
I have another thunderstone.
All right, partial Michael Bay.
And I'm trying to think, what if I could run to the front of the shop and throw something in that would mess him right up. And I wonder as well, I mean, I don't know if this is something that mechanically would work. If you throw something that has a pulse that big into something that's full of glass vials of acid.
It's a GM discretion.
Right, yeah. I mean, because that would be the hope.
So do you have quick draw?
No.
Just because, likewise, you can't move and draw and throw. You'll have to either move and draw or draw and throw.
I mean, I'm very quick.
That's not how that works.
What else have you got inventory-wise at the moment?
I've got one Thunderstone and two flasks of fire. A disguise kit and playing cards.
Flick cards at him, irritatingly.
Gambit.
Right, I'm going to pressure you.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Decisions
are the best decisions.
They are. I am going to... I know that he is the biggest threat, so I am going to run up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, it's easy. I'm there, I'm looking into the shop, I'm seeing what he's doing, and then I will decide whether to attack him.
Okay, looking into the shop, mm-hmm. you see that he's pulled the tent sort of flaps aside.
Uh-huh. Ooh, flaps.
Yep. And he is in the middle of the thing. He hasn't noticed that you are looking at him.
Uh-huh.
And it's very clear that the second that the tent flaps are aside, this thing is chock full of those oil flask things.
Gosh.
The ones that the bombers were using, it looks like. So not an acid splash, but literally just vials of oil. And he's holding a what looks like a bag or something, and he's mm-hmm. grabbing and yanking. Also, it looks like there's someone unconscious on the floor
that.
There were people in the other shops. They've all been sort of...
run away from the thunder.
I mean, it's only been a few seconds, but since that thunder, a few people have been... Oh, have been sort of coming out from their stalls and running away. Most of them, honestly, seem to have drawn swords from underneath their counters or cudgels and things and aren't fleeing. They're just watching it play out.
This is not unusual.
What did the eel merchant do?
Yeah.
His poor stall.
It wasn't that damaged by the fire.
We don't know yet.
True.
None of you have been able to discern, you haven't been paying attention, what happened to the eel man.
So after this, is it going to, which is going to fade to black and it's a...
Dedicated
the fate
to...
of the eel man.
Right.
So yeah, you see he's stocking up on flasks of oil.
If I were Bertie, I would attack the shop. That sounds like a wise thing to do.
I'm afraid, though, chucking something in, you wouldn't be able to do this round.
I am not strong enough to pull down the awning. I can throw a dagger at him.
You could draw something, because you've only just moved over so far.
I've got spring-loaded wrist sheets.
I don't know
if you can do this or not, but if I were this chap and I was sitting in a room full of exploding things
mm-hmm.
and somebody drew a flask full of fire and threatened to throw it at me, that might give me pause. I don't know if it's a thing.
That is not a thing that Sasha would think. That sounds like a charisma move. Intimidate.
What's left in your turn?
Just the attack thing. So can I throw still?
You could use your sheath and throw a dagger at him.
Throw.
Go for it. Give me the attack roll.
Oh, gosh. Five.
Oh. No.
Never
won't hit. So on that, we're going to call this episode... Oh, peril, danger, disaster.
No, sins of mild peril. I'm under 12 years old. I find this very distressing.
I would say this is bordering on moderate peril.
Yeah.
There's a tent full of flammable things. There's an eel stand that's already on fire, which is impressive because it's mostly water.
I'm sleeping and Bertie has night terrors. That wasn't in the background.
But, you know, you're at least holding your own so far.
Yeah.
So we're going to call it there and we will rejoin the action next week. So until then, that's bye from all of us.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Hope we live to see you again. Night, Bertie.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at @TheRustyQuill, or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Is everyone good?
Yep.
Follow the hellish.
Yellow lorry, red lorry.
So from now on, Hamid's known as WhatsApp. And yeah.
What's up, Hamid? It's actually the pun that's built into the name, so it's not really a good joke. they did set that up.
So what you're saying is you used a corporate pun.
Look, my branding is very strong.
But tossing my eel to distract the dog is not... Is that an option?
I... Brin's gone. I'm going to have to edit from tossing my eel. Oh. Get it out your system, Brin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Much
I'm
like sorry. Games.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.